BlakeRadio.com.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
And you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect. And damn proud of it.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What hurts most are my feelings. You cussed at me. You verbally abused me. Whatever shall I do?
And the indie scene.
I'm Al Stokes.
I'm Roddy Piper. This is Hawk Kong.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters. This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults. Obviously, I'm the only adult here.
Spud.
Asshole.
Yes, I am.
Mace. And the Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network. And once again, it is just me, and it is just Rock, the only two reliable people on this whole damn network.
I mean, what the fuck, man? What the fuck?
Jeez. Just, you know, once again, just the two of us, the only ones who bothered to show up.
I mean, these guys have no respect for this goddamn show. There's Tim and, you know, Spug. They don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, bailing out at a moment's notice, no warning, just leaving the two of us here to do, you know, carry their dead asses.
But haven't we been able to be...
Him.
Rock, stop playing those sound clips. Just the two of us here.
I know, we've been carrying their dead asses for like 3 years now.
No shit.
Excuse me!
Wait.
Stop playing those fucking
sound clips. Sorry. I hit the wrong button. Sorry, I'm going
to
take my hand off
the... We can't rely on any fucking people here.
I know, it's like terrible.
Motherfuckers, I said excuse me!
Wait, what? What's that? That's not in the clip I have. I didn't hit that. What'd you hit, Omega?
I didn't hit any button. I don't have a soundboard.
But that's not on my soundboard.
Well, I can't do an Australian
soundboard.
Accent.
I'm here, bitches!
Wait, what? What the fuck is that? Is that Nick?
Fuck off!
I think it's Stage.
How's it going,
Die
Stage?
Die in a fire, Omega.
You're not the first Australian to tell me that this week.
Yes, but I do provide your inner child with future TJTV material.
Hi, Mace.
Hi. Guess what?
What?
I got sent home from work because I'm sick. Which means I'm now doing something that you fuckers wish could happen. I'm getting paid to do this show.
About damn time, and once, and to no one's surprise, Tim's not forking over a dime of it.
Yeah, not a surprise there.
It's really not. Really, really not.
Yeah, magical little things happen when you walk into work, cough up half a lung, and try and like stop stuff dripping out of your nose. They look at you and go home, and I'm okay. It just happened to coincide with a WWE pay-per-view. What a quinky dink.
That kind of sounds fishy.
It sounds fishy, but I tell you what, it's legit.
I know, I just heard the cough. You caught most of the thing on mute, not all of it. Anyway,
I'm trying my best to stifle it.
Yeah, anyway.
But yes, We have wrestling to talk about.
I know this is where Tim Snyder say, welcome everyone to Wrestle Talk Radio Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're here to talk about WWE Vengeance. And what a show it was.
It needs to sound more Canadian.
I can't sound Canadian.
Just add A to the end of every word.
A, yeah, well, we'll get to that later. he does the ums too. We had a good show tonight. What did you guys think of Raw before we get into the whole show?
Think of Raw?
Think of Raw.
I said of the show. I said show.
No, you said Raw.
Oh,
you said Raw before we get into the show.
Oh, whatever. Anyway, what do you think of the show before we get into the overall part of the show? Whatever, just go with it.
WWE pay-per-view like?
unfortunately, I didn't catch as much of it as I wanted. It was, seemed like a fairly good pay-per-view. Another fucked ending, but a decent pay-per-view.
I thought that was, TNA was last week.
No, last week was TNA, and TNA was doing WrestleMania 18.
I see.
No, this was WWE Vengeance, and they were recreating Lesnar versus Big Show.
From what, 2003?
Something like that. I've got it on DVD around here somewhere.
They're about 8 years, and they still can't get that ring to cave in the right way. It's just so much to ask that shit breaks when they hit the mat.
Yeah, get that timing right, guys. Then again, they do it that way, so it actually preserves the wrestlers.
But who cares about the wrestlers? It's all about looking real.
Right.
You could logically make sense of it. I mean, if Hornswoggle was standing up when they hit, they would have taken a second to go down.
That's the second bump.
Yeah.
Everyone on Twitter was talking about how they killed Hornswoggle's home.
Those poor little leprechauns, may they rest in peace.
There's an entire courtroom underneath the ring, okay? I'm sure he had, like, some place to escape to.
Think it had a basement shelter?
Wouldn't surprise me. I'm gonna say the joke and I'm gonna hate myself for it anyway. The leprechauns probably put in the fallout shelter when Adam Bomb was wrestling.
Oh man. Anyway. Talking about bombs, we started off with Air Boom. They put up the tag team titles against Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger.
It's about the only team so far that hasn't actually taken to one of the catchy internet names that have been floating around for the team.
What are some of those names? I have not seen any.
And, American Perfection is the one I like. That'd go over so well in Europe.
And aren't they going to Europe in a few weeks, too?
That would be great.
That would be perfect if they went with that.
It works right now because you've got the United States champion on the team, too. This is a gimmick in the making, and they just aren't running with it. I don't know why.
Well,
because they're putting all their time into making crappy new entrance music for Air Boom.
Oh, God, that was terrible.
I had it muted at the time. Was it really that bad?
Oh, yeah.
Jim Johnston is really lacking in creativity with the theme.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel at this point.
Well, we'll get to the one that's worse later in the show. But they're at least showing some tag team continuity, as they actually did have matching tights, did Ziggler and Swagger, kind of. They're both red, white, and blue.
Apparently they're already building up to that team name.
Apparently.
I'm at least glad to see that. You know, how many pay-per-views in a row have we actually had a tag title match?
I remember some stat I read on Twitter during the show. It was the third straight month Air Boom has opened the show.
That's kind of astonishing.
But then again, we went 3 straight months with Daniel Bryan at the end of last year, and we've seen where that's gotten them.
Does everyone remember he was a Money in the Bank winner?
Yeah, they remind you when he actually gets to wrestle.
Okay, then I'll have to catch Superstars then sometime.
Good luck with that.
They're airing it on WWE.com again.
I thought they took it down.
Well, they put
it back
up.
So far behind with the news. Damn you earning money!
I'm surprised that wasn't a major headline on some website, but yeah, they are bringing back the WWE Superstars is back on WWE.com for all 500 people to watch it.
Being generous with those numbers, aren't you?
Well, it is getting close to the holiday season. You got to give them a little bump in the rating number.
More people watch Zack Ryder's show, and you know it. Woo, 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 you know it.
Hashtag.
Hashtag.
Just quickly speak about hashtags. There's one that popped up that I reckon needs to be trending, at least by the end of the day or week or whatever. Things Mark Henry ate. Best hashtag ever.
That's a pretty good one. What are some of the things Mark Henry would eat, Mace?
Let's see.
Don't answer. Dead silence is the best answer.
He eats dead silence? But it's Mark Henry. He could eat anything and everything. KFC small babies, they taste the same.
He's Mikey. He'll try anything.
Oh, God.
See, look how long you've been gone. My jokes have not gotten any better.
No, it almost sounds like you've been taking lessons from Tim. Oh, wait,
no.
Tim has...
Whoa, yeah. No.
No. Oh. I retract the insult on the grounds that Tim has not been here since I left the show to actually teach you any worse jokes.
I get paid for my jokes, okay? Big difference between me and Tim.
True.
And you can hear some Omega's better jokes at TJ Omega on YouTube.
And tjomega.blogspot.com, where I just reviewed the original Transformers cartoon.
That's a shameless plug right there.
You really, really need to watch, because Omega tries to be this cute little man-child in it, which is actually yes.
I was so worried nobody would get that.
Oh, I got it. And what you did at the end was the same thing I wanted to do to the character the second it popped up. It's like that cute little puppy looking at you, up at you. You just want to punt into the sky.
Okay, Jersey Girl, no. It doesn't have to, that does not have to be in the hashtag.
What, you don't want to, things Mark Henry eats as a hand? No?
Yeah, that's the one that upsets me, Rock.
I don't want
to
bring
it's
up...
got absolutely nothing to do with Mark Henry eating Mae Young.
Okay.
I was about to drink water, thank you very much. I was trying not to put that one on air.
I was about to eat, so much for that.
At least you're not saying is, like, you know, hashtag anal bleeding, you know. At least that one's not brought up.
Twitter still says anal bleeding is better than Michael Cole. That's all that matters. How about a pay-per-view? How about that?
Let's get back. Let's get back to the match. It was a good opening match between these four men.
With the exception of Daniel Bryan, you've got the cream of the mid-card right now. I'm glad that there's actually some kind of cohesion in a tag team division in WWE for a change. I'm glad that it's actually getting pay-per-view focused, because they've got a lot of talented guys who are in teams right now.
Which is a step up from where they were a year ago.
It's a step up from crap like, let's put Charlie Haas and Viscera together for no apparent reason.
Oh, God. This is where I'm trying to remember. Who were the tag team champions last year at this time?
Oh, son of a bitch.
What have you been told about making people think on the air, Rock?
I'm looking it up. I'm looking
you
it
would
up.
Think. You would think that you...
Oh, the Nexus.
Oh, they were still around. Wow.
Basically, 1 year to the date, Nexus. At Bragging Rights, Nexus, the team of John Cena and David Otunga, won the tag team titles.
Oh, man.
That... Yeah. Nexus, and then they lost it to Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel. The next night on Raw. That was the tag teams last year. Now David Otunga is your legal advisor.
David Otunga, the grown-up Urkel.
Some people can compare him to Carlton Banks.
Carlton's a little more obvious.
He just needs a suspenders for Urkel, I think.
Yeah. But see, but if he takes the suspenders, then he is completely, oh, son of a bitch. It was there, and I lost it.
I still reckon he looks like he should have been put in the Main Street Posse.
Main Street Posse 2.0, coming to it, you know.
We need someone else who is that overtly white.
They can hire back.
Bring back Cohen White.
That's where that was. That's where.
Oh,
I was going
to. No.
Kerwin White and David Otunga, Mean Street Posse 2.0.
Oh,
God, no.
I thought it was bad that I actually thought, hey, let's bring back the Spirit Squad after I watched Survivor Series 2006 the other night.
Shame on you.
Only just for the intro. Just for the intro. Yeah, I'll go back over there now.
But anyway, after a back and forth competitive matchup with some real tag team wrestling for once, Air Boom retained the tag team titles, but then, Mace, what happened?
Somebody jobbed out.
But it was right afterwards. Right afterwards, we got the U.S. title match. Woo, woo, woo. You know it.
You blew it.
Looked like Omega, I think it was Omega mentioned, it was Money in the Bank cash-in.
It felt like it.
Our second match was Dolph Ziggler defending against Zack Ryder. What do you guys think?
It was very out of nowhere. Like, I know that at some point you pointed out that they had said that the U.S. title match was coming up next, but I probably didn't catch that. And it's like, yeah, okay, Ryder's coming out. Okay, no time to recuperate, no nothing. This could be a squash. And then all of a sudden, woo, 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 he blows it.
But all the credit to Dolph Ziggler. I mean, speaking of former Spirit Squad members, I mean, going two matches in a row is not easy.
Oh, yeah. Big props for him for doing double duty one after another.
I felt like this whole night was kind of bookended by trying to do something a little bit different than normal.
And there's something wrong with that?
Not at all. In fact, it's one of the elements to tonight that I quite enjoyed.
Zack Ryder, as we've been basically said, Zack Ryder lost the match to Dolph Ziggler, and it appears, at least in my opinion, Dolph Ziggler is kind of starting to act like Shawn Michaels.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit.
He won in San Antonio. Somebody had to use the super kick.
Yeah, well, it amazed me he won on a super kick.
It was not the super kick. I actually thought it on Raw with the promo he cut, the way he used the catchphrases on Raw. It just had a little bit of feel of a Shawn Michaels type promo. Just a little bit.
Well, maybe he's getting better.
Maybe that too. Maybe he's actually learning some things.
Oh my God. Someone in the WWE is learning?
I know. It's a change from the past, but...
Next, John Cena will have 6 moves.
Wait. Now that's never going to happen. You're just full of shit.
I can hope.
He'll never get that 6 move.
Yay, I can do a dropkick now. Good job. Now, see your next move in 3 years.
Yeah, but he learns dropkick, forgets breathing.
He's like a Pokemon. When he learns a new move, he forgets an old one.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's just a rotation of five moves.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which still makes him only one step better than a Pokemon.
Yeah, because at least a Pokemon evolves once in a while.
And I have yet to see somebody catch Cena in a little ball.
Well, he wouldn't stay down for all three shakes. You know this.
Hold down and beat. It works.
That's the geekiest reference you could possibly drop on this show.
Well, screw you. I'm not going to be around for RTL.
God. Two people got that joke, and I'm one of them.
Well, then it just shows Pokemon isn't as popular as Nintendo thinks.
That trick is like 10 years old. You know what? Fuck it. We are so far off topic.
But we're on topic, kind of. Anyway. Dolph Ziggler retained the title, and our next matchup with apparently Joey Styles called one of the best Diva matches I've seen in a long time, and as good as any other match on the pay-per-view so far. And that's where I quoted Joey Styles on Twitter. Beth Phoenix versus Eve Torres for the Divas title.
Was he heavily sarcastic tonight, or?
No. That's the thing.
Did he get a raise recently?
I honestly wasn't paying attention because, you know, it's a Divas match.
They lost me at the shitty entrance music for Eve Torres.
Yeah.
That had, like, late 80s or early 90s dance music all written all over it. It was... There's no more other words.
So Eve's music is truly outrageous?
Yeah. What did you think of the match, Mace?
It was
a fucking good gem reference.
The match itself was all right. Nothing overly special, but it was sort of a wrestling match. Interesting to see the reverse triangle or the octopus hold or whatever the hell they decide to call it. The submission that Eve put on. I'm Beth. Probably something she got taught in the bedroom somewhere.
And the other move she got taught in the bedroom was...
during contract negotiations.
The other bedroom move was tying them up to something?
Ah, a bit of bondage.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
We had a little bit of that as well.
See, aren't you guys glad I'm back?
Yes, I am. I really, really am.
Yeah, Rock and me had to go it alone last week. We are very glad to have you back.
And by the way, I did call Tim not being here, and there was proof. Anyway, Beth Phoenix retained her Divas Championship in, I guess, an okay match. Not, like, a great match, but it was an okay match. It was passable.
But it's a passable Divas match, which makes it incredible.
And that's why so that backs up Joey Styles' point. See what you did there?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. We then move on. Christian versus Sheamus.
Sheamus?
Fella.
I missed Fella.
What did you think of this matchup, Mace?
Lunch break.
Yeah, I figured.
Seriously, I went started making lunch.
Yeah, I know.
When
I
match
know.
Started, I got back for the last 10 seconds.
I'm a Christian, Mark, and I couldn't get into this match. Like, I just couldn't make myself pay attention.
It just seemed like a match. It hadn't real. It felt like there was no importance to the match.
Did you turn down the white balance on your television so you could actually see Sheamus?
Well, it's kind of. I guess it's my own fault. And I channel surfed between matches, and when I came back, I thought I landed on the Casper movie.
Can't wait for next week. Muppets! Sheamus and Sheamus and Pika, they gotta do it.
They have to.
But to tie in a Sheamus reference, Mace, you're sold now?
Yeah.
You're sold, officially?
No, that was the next match.
Yeah, but I'm tying it into Sheamus.
Yeah, true.
The picture.
I'm quite surprised, actually. I did... during this pay-per-view, I did a little bit of jumping back and forth. I jumped on YouTube because THQ had released Brock Lesnar's intro for the upcoming WWE 12 game. And I'm taking a look at a few of the other videos, and I happened to notice one for WrestleMania, which in it, for about 2 seconds, if you pause it, it's Sheamus with the European title, which I was quite surprised to see that they're actually putting some of the old belts in the game, like as actual storyline elements, not just a, hey, we're putting in titles for the sake of putting in titles.
Yeah, that's the thing that always bugged me. It's like, what's the point of putting in all these old classic championship belts when you can't really do anything with them?
Pretty much, but now they're actually incorporating at least one of them into a storyline.
Excellent.
Yes, and for some reason it's just so fitting that Sheamus holds the European title.
Oh, of course. You know, it was him or Wade Barrett or Welsh Tista.
Mason Ryan?
Yes, that guy. Yeah.
Would you count Mr. Flippy Flip? What's his face? Gabriel?
Mr. Flippy Flip.
Oh, that's all he's known for. He does flips in the air. That's it. I've been working. I forget things.
It's okay, Mace. It really is okay. During one of the matches, John Morrison was just known as the Booker T. Couldn't figure out his name, but he was the parkour kid. So you're not alone.
Because that's going to make him stick around when his contract expires.
Yeah, I think we've seen the last of Mr. Morrison in the WWE. Just saying.
Waste. Enormous fucking waste.
But anyway, the match. Sheamus...
I think we've already expressed that we really didn't give a flying fuck about the match.
I know, I'm saying who won. Sheamus won with, I believe, the bro kick.
Uh-huh.
There you go. Sheamus wins with the bro kick. And that does it for the first...
You mean not the, what was it, the Irish hand grenade?
That it did eventually start to trend on Twitter.
Irish hand grenade?
Yeah.
Booker T, yeah, wait for the next Botchamania. There's going to be at least 7 lines from Booker T that's going to make it in here, including Ducky Ducky Quack Quack.
Oh, God, Ducky Ducky Quack Quack. Isn't that like one of Botchamania's new bits is just awful Booker T commentary?
Insane Black Snow commentary is the name of the segment. Mind you, they did their debut a new one, Drunken Roddy Piper commentary, which had the opening of it is when he painted himself up half black.
I did catch that.
That's scary shit.
Did catch that. Though I've taken a liking to the intro for Taz's commentary.
The Oompa Loompa. I love
it. Yeah, the Oompa Loompa. It's Taz! You can tell how into this pay-per-view we were.
We'll get into the real meat of the pay-per-view. What we're gonna do first is take a break. Come back. We've covered the first half of the show. We'll come back and talk about the second half, including a return of some sort. I guess if you call it a return. We'll talk about that and who won the WWE title match? Superman or Alberto Del Rio? This is WTR Sunday Night. We'll be back.
Shadows. Every Tuesday night, wrestling's biggest names stop by OWW Radio.
Hey, this is World War Animal. This is Rick, the model of Martel.
This is the king of old school, Keith Reno.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G. This is George the Animal Steel.
Tune in as Alan Wojcik and his contributors bring you the online world of wrestling radio, Tuesday nights at 9 Eastern.
If you want some, come get some.
Only on Wild Talk Radio Network on wildtalkradio.com.
19, 2, 6, 7, sucker!
Once upon a time, a radio show began with a couple of guys talking about, well, let's just say, not-so-classy women.
I got a MySpace message. Now, you know that kid that was always here and he put the cigarettes out on his nipples and shit?
Fire nips.
Yeah, fire nips. Well, you remember the girl who showed off her tits to everybody?
Titty flash.
Yeah. Well, they're on break right now. Well, my ex is now, or was, living with, you know, titty flash.
It's fire nips and fire tits, because they don't want to set her tits.
Yeah, that's true. So it's fire nips and fire tits. Yes,
wait,
we did.
Didn't we set his dick on fire?
Yep.
Fire crotch and
fire tits.
Tits. All right.
Yeah.
So fire dick and fire tits were
right
on a break. So
they're on a break. And then, now, see, my ex was living with fire tits. Well, my ex and fire dick had sex at fire tits place last night while she wasn't there.
Almost 200 episodes later, well, this show has what makes you go, holy you-know-what.
You know, it sucks. I want to throw up, but I don't think I can.
What?
Finger down your throat.
Oh, man, this is like old times. This is what I needed.
So how many shots do you think you have out now, Ace? About 8 or 9? Oh, there's
something.
Oh, yeah.
Keep in mind, well, this is all for you.
Well, Jabber almost fell down his steps, so.
Only the landing. I got down all the steps to see, but the landing was because it has that turn.
This is how we party on CB Radio.
Join us for the 200th episode of CB Radio, otherwise known as Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, live November 5th, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night, talking WWE Vengeance with Omega, The Rock and Sock, and Mace, surprisingly enough.
It's clobbering time! It's good to have Mace back on the show.
Indeed.
It's good to be back.
For one night only, Mace is back on Wrestle Talk Radio.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
I get to tell Twitter I will not fucking follow Ryan Seacrest. Close.
But why don't you want to follow Ryan Seacrest?
Why would I want to? That's the better question.
I have no real good reason. Anyway, welcome back, and I have no real good reason. I don't know why anyone would want to follow Ryan Seacrest. Unless you want to try out for American Idol. I don't know.
No.
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 I want to follow him with a shotgun.
We come back to the pay-per-view after, you know, a nice video package, and it's The Miz and R-Truth, who apparently before the match, you know, talked about being the best suck-ups ever, or something like that. They were talking with Laurinaitis about.
I severely doubt that.
But you don't think they were the best suck-ups ever?
Oh, I'm sure there were worse or better, depending on which end of the sucking you're on.
Well, we could say Pat Patterson and Jerry Briscoe were. Yeah, they were good at sucking up to the Stooges, and all of the switches go out to Jerry Briscoe after he, I believe, he suffered another. What was it? A stroke again? Or
oh God! I wish I read the last update. I missed it.
Yeah, I believe it was either a seizure or a stroke, and he's doing all right. He's back home, according to Jim Ross. So our wishes go out to Jerry Briscoe and his recovery. But back to the match. It was Miz and R-Truth taking on CM Punk and the game Triple H. What did you think of this matchup, Mace?
It was pretty much what you'd expect from this grouping, you know, lots of punching, lots of throwing around.
Lots of heel tactics by the babyfaces.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was...
There's not really much to it. I think this was more setting up for what was happening at the end and what's going to be happening in the future.
Which is what you want from matches like this. It's not the end point, it's the middle point.
This is the beginning of Act 2.
Right. But they did some heel tactics, old school tag team heel, you know, holding on each other's hands to get the, you know, get the opponent down. That's pretty good stuff, I thought. What do you think, Omega?
Unfortunately, I didn't get to see this one. I know.
But yeah, this was a, you know, you get four good workers. It turned out a really, really good, you know, solid tag team match, which is all you can ask for in the mid card of this, you know, pay per view. And then
you want to tell Triple H sometime that he was in the mid card of a pay per view.
But do you also realize that's two tag team matches on a pay per view?
I know, and a whole three actual teams to their credit.
I know, this is getting scary. It's almost like they're trying to revive the tag division somehow.
You would think that if they hadn't fired half of the Hart Dynasty.
There's still a tag team in the Hart Dynasty.
I don't think it's eligible for competition, though.
And that was banned from...
Well, some competitions. Of the wet t-shirt variety.
And that tag team was banned from being at ringside tonight.
I know. I was disappointed.
We all were. But after, you know, tag team wrestling... Then there was the run-in.
Yeah, that was sort of out of left field.
Big Daddy Cool Kevin Nash makes his once a pay-per-view, every pay-per-view return to interfere in a matchup.
Movie's done,
and he appeared at Awesome Wrestling Entertainment's god-awful pay-per-view. God, that was terrible. Where he was doing it all for the money, and their main event didn't even have it. He was apparently counted out of the match when there was no count out, but he lost by count out. That was ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway, back to actual things that matter. Kevin Nash comes in and, you know, just basically cost Triple H and CM Punk the matchup.
Pretty much.
And then he went on to attack the game.
Yes, and this is where you're going to get your setup for Survivor Series.
It seemed like a lot of it was set up tonight for, you know, the main event for Survivor Series, which we'll talk about in a little while. And are you kidding me, Omega?
No, I am not.
that saddens me.
I'm sure this is one of those trending topics, like how Just Incredible trended and all the Bieber fangirls thought it was one of his. So it started out with
mentioning of the t-shirts. Now all of a sudden, non-dubbed fans have jumped on it.
Yeah. Because, I was thinking in my head, that's an after-school message right there. You couldn't get much more blatant than that, and apparently Twitter agrees.
There's your Be a Star anti-bullying campaign for you. Just saying. Anyway, Kevin Nash comes in, lays out Triple H with a vicious jackknife powerbomb.
Yeah, that bump really scares the crap out of you, to be honest.
Explain it to the viewers at home.
Alright, for those of you who don't understand what happened, pretty much Triple H took the bump high on his shoulders, which is something that I've taken a few times, mostly on accident. It's when you can't land flat and you want to try and save yourself. But the thing that makes this sort of weird to take is that when you land, because of the way you are, it feels like your entire spine gets compressed and shatters. So you think, oh shit, there goes my back. Now, in the air, like, you'll be up and walking 10 minutes later. So the bump isn't as dangerous as it looks. It's just that oh shit moment that sort of throws you off your game. I took one of those early in a tag match, and I spent the rest of the match on the outside holding my back thinking I fucked it up. Mind you, when this match was over and we all got backstage, the guy who fucking dropped me on my shoulders, I almost ripped his spine out, but that's another story. But in the end, Triple H was fine. He took the bump in the way that pretty much saved him. Because if he kept going, he would have landed on the back of his neck, and then he would have really have done the neck injury.
Right.
But yeah, it's just a very scary bump to take.
And when they put it in slow-mo, you see the compacting in you.
Yeah, it makes you go ouchy.
At least it's safe. That's all that matters. So that R-Truth and Miz win that matchup, and we'll talk about Survivor Series in a little bit. Moving on, it's the non-title matchup, Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes. What did you think of this one? Did you see this one, Omega?
Not much of it.
Okay, Mace, what did you think of this match?
Eh.
Eh?
Expert analysis. Eh.
Well, you were either going to get
it
eh
wasn't,
or meh.
It was, yeah, it wasn't even worth a meh.
It was just an eh. Not an A, an eh. This was, you know...
Yeah, you'll wait till we get to the finish of the championship match where the response is just, eh.
Yeah. Randy Orton didn't need to win that match.
No, he didn't. I mean, it's unfortunate. It's obviously... like when they do something like that, when you put these two in a match, and it's a well-built match, I like the build on this match, but when... it comes down to this, Randy Orton win, ooh, big deal. It makes it all the more obvious that this was just something thrown together so they'd have something to do, that there wasn't any other thought or logic behind it whatsoever.
Here's some actual logic I think they think, because God knows why they think like this, but Randy Orton lost last pay-per-view, correct?
Uh-huh.
He lost the pay-per-view before that, correct?
I think so.
They don't let the top star lose three times in a row on pay-per-view. Think about it with John Cena. He lost twice, then won the title. Randy Orton lost the title, lost a three-match, and won his match. The top babyface does not lose three pay-per-views in a row, even if it makes sense.
Well, if they wanted to avoid that, then they should stop booking it day to day and actually come up with some kind of structure so that doesn't happen.
Well, yeah, but that's logic. And
it's not even logic. It's just good storytelling, which is what they're supposed to be paid to do.
Yet, we are stuck with what we're saying.
I guess.
But I have a feeling this. Mace, you made a comment in the chat as we were talking. You see a rematch at Survivor Series?
Yeah, quite possibly, because, hell, it's a Randy Orton match, and they got to replay it at least 6 times.
And at SmackDown, they repeat matches all the time. Even though this was like their 4th match in the last 6 weeks.
Oh, 2 more to go.
I'm thinking. Because they did the one on Raw, they did the one, a couple on SmackDown, the one where he got, you know, busted open really, really bad that was never seen on TV. Yeah, they've done a bunch of matches together. Good match for what it was. Randy Orton moves on. Then we get to the World Heavyweight title matchup between two actual heavyweights. Mark Henry and The Big Show.
Go figure.
What'd you think? Did you see this one now, Omega?
Yeah.
Okay, what'd you think
this
of this one?
This one I saw.
What'd you think?
When the hell did Mark Henry learn a submission hold? That's what's going through my head the whole time. It's like, okay, the match is okay. They're doing better than two big men I'm accustomed to seeing. But when the hell did he learn a submission hold? I don't know if I like Mark Henry using a submission hold or not, because it seems to go against his character, and at the same time, it's a little bit more dynamic.
I thought the only submission hold he knew was the bear hug.
Bear hug doesn't exactly look good on camera. I'm glad they figured that out.
Took them how many years?
It was definitely something outside of the typical big man moveset.
Yeah, definitely. I was okay with the match,
that
though.
That and the WWE 12.
Yeah, we got a new video game coming up. All you guys are going to have to pull out a move like that you've done maybe once in your whole career.
You know what was amusing? Having, you know, following guys who work for WWE Games, WWE 12. Mm-hmm. They're seeing the new music tonight. The new John Cena's new gear. The game's finished already.
Hey, look, we're almost done with the game. It's like, new music, new gear. Oh shit!
Yeah.
But we are in the age of downloaded content where it'll make you pay for the more accurate looks later on. Fucking bullshit.
Yeah, which they've already done in the last game, which they'll probably do in this game.
They'll do it to death in this game. The one thing you always complain about when you get a new WWE game is that because of the development time, it's always 6 months out of date. So, of course, they're going to make you pay for the last 6 months.
True. Which is why I'm buying the game just for the Legends. At least they're not out of date.
Still have to buy The Rock. Because I know you're so eager to buy The Rock.
Oh, yeah, totally. Completely. Before I even do that, though, I'm going to definitely spend my money on, like, buying 7 different costumes for Batman. That I'm actually serious about.
Wait. Batman's going to be in WWE 12?
Dude, that would be awesome.
Nobody would win.
I know.
Dude, Batman's had all night. Batman's had all night to plan. You're fucked.
Batman versus John Cena.
He'd actually win, because he does carry kryptonite.
So you're not rushing out to buy the People's Edition of WWE 12?
No.
But if you don't have The Rock...
I'd probably go to Mexico and get the Sin Cara Edition, though.
You see, but... Yeah, but see, if you're gonna, you're gonna need The Rock in the game because, you know, who else are you gonna have Jimmy Uso beat?
Is Jimmy Uso even in the game?
Stop trying to tempt me to buy the People's Edition, because that would be something I do record and stick up on YouTube.
But I think you just...
Or even better, it'd be like, I get Kelly Kelly to beat The Rock in 10 seconds.
I think if you just pre-order the game, I think at GameStop, I think you get The Rock.
Yeah, you do.
But I haven't been bothered looking at it.
I believe that's a scenario.
Anyway, well, you got, it's Australia. We do things differently. We don't have GameStop.
EB Games is the same thing as GameStop. They're the same company.
I know it's the same company, but over here, we don't actually have GameStop. Which is, yeah. Anyway.
So far, well, we had EB Games here, and now they're all turning to GameStop. Anyway, Big Show Mark Henry.
One of these days, we'll actually get through this pay-per-view.
Attention span of fucking goldfish, I swear to God.
Shiny.
Anyway, Mark Henry, Big Show. What did the finish? Talk about it.
Oh my God, the return to the Lesnar spot.
Pretty much. But what else could you really do with the Big Show?
Oh, well, true. I mean, they love that spot. They replayed to death, you know, so I'm not surprised they brought it out again. The only thing that surprised me was I really thought they'd go one better and actually have the match keep going, because it ended exactly like Lesnar and Big Show did, because they both had to be carted out. You know, it was a complete no finish. Henry, who, you know, they want to book as this absolute unstoppable beast, should have at least crawled over and gotten an honest-to-God pinfall, at least recovered enough to do that. Because it would have made him look completely indomitable.
Pretty much. There's not really, like, roll over, get the pin.
Yeah.
Get up, throw everybody off, and walk away. Which he practically did.
Practically did, but didn't do. I mean, it's the same thing that we had last time with the Randy Orton match. We almost had a really solid ending for Henry, but they just wouldn't go that one step further. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, look, to be honest, it's not an air of, I got no idea what the fuck's going on. It's more of a, it was such a good spot that it literally left me speechless. Like, that spot rarely gets used. This is the second time it's been used in probably nearly 10 years.
Well,
and
how,
it's still one of those
ones
that shocks you, and you still sit there and go, wow, okay.
Yeah, because how often do you have someone in the ring with Big Show who can actually pick up Big Show?
Exactly. So,
yeah, the finish is, you know, no one, they can both get stretchered out. Well, Big Show gets carted out because the stretcher couldn't hold him, and Mark Henry, the valiant champion, walks out on his own 2 feet, kind of. And that means
Teddy Long going, let them help you, player!
Yeah. And that means we'll probably get a rematch.
Probably, because it's SmackDown. We don't have enough for more than that.
And I wouldn't mind that being the world title match at Survivor Series. We could have worse. We could have Kane back in the main event.
Oh, it'll happen.
Yeah. Give it time.
So now, we then move to the actual main event. John Cena versus Alberto Del Rio, where they fight in the broken ring.
Now, this is the only thing I'll disagree with. They should have had Henry and Show go on last, with that ending, because with that big of a spot happening, it really didn't add anything to the Alberto Del Rio Cena match. It actually made it even more boring, because hell, they didn't really leave the fucking ring at all until the last 5 minutes of the match.
That's the unfortunate thing, because it did create an interesting environment. It created a different environment for a Falls Count Anywhere match, but I don't really think they knew what to do with it once they set it up. Other than the fact that John Cena had completely lost the 5 moves of Doom, I really don't think it affected the match all that much, because they were just so reluctant to do anything different.
Yeah, because with the ring being the way it is, and yet again, we're going to break the kayfabe, we're going to tear down the fourth wall, there is no shock absorber in the ring anymore. Because usually, and if their ring is the same style setup I'm thinking, there is a shock absorber in the middle of the ring, which is what gives it the bouncy quality. Knocking out one of the ring posts and having it slanted down on one side means that that shock absorber is no longer effective. So these guys are practically bumping on the same as what they would be doing if they were doing spots on the floor. You know, not much padding. It's going to hurt them like hell when they take any bump. So, of course, you're going to be reluctant to throw yourself around and take the big moves.
Right.
Mind you, it didn't stop him a couple of times. I remember Alberto Del Rio flying off the ring into the barriers in what looks
that
like
was
a
amusing.
Dive.
He got launched.
No, launched was Ricardo Rodriguez when he decided to, and this is going to sound dirty as hell, ride the pole.
But I'm bumping.
He's going to be, you know, announcing.
And there's your pleasant visual for the night.
Thank you, Mace.
Hey, don't thank me. Thank the WWE. They even played it in slow-mo.
I'm pretty sure they didn't refer to it as riding the pole, though.
Yeah, true, but I'm not thinking straight, so fuck you.
Obviously, you're imagining Ricardo riding poles.
Well, at least it's not Lita.
You don't have to imagine that.
Exactly.
How do you think she funds her band? It sure as hell ain't by selling tickets.
Well, it could also be by Crime Time selling off her stuff.
No, it's Crime Time selling...
I rewatched that segment the other day. That was hilarious.
It was Crime Time selling off their stuff and then selling everybody the antidote to what they caught off of her stuff.
So that's why JBL left after smelling her panties.
Crime Time Pharmaceuticals.
Oh, God. So, yeah. Who won this one?
At one point, it seemed like, you know, the one guy would never stay down.
The one guy.
The music was fucking happening, man.
And they kept playing and playing and playing, and, you know, you thought, you know, he was gonna, you know, he kept getting up. Why?
That lady was out of breath.
Steel.
At one point, Cena is buried under the steel display things that they had for the interview area.
Four of them.
And he just pushes them up. Like, I know, okay, in reality, they don't weigh much. But still, he pushes all four of them off, gets up like it's nothing, and runs after Del Rio.
The problem, Cena has, like, Cena is bad enough at selling as it is, but when you put him in a match like this, he is awful. Like, you hear him in an I Quit match, and, you know, he's just taking huge amounts of abuse, getting his ass kicked from one end of the arena to the other. They put a mic to his face, and referee goes, do you give up? And he goes, no. You can't even tell. He doesn't sound haggard. He doesn't sound exhausted. He just goes, no. That's exactly how he was tonight. You're supposed to be selling the fact that, you know, you can barely get up. Just shove these, shove these heavy metal grates off of me. I'm fine. Let's keep going.
I think the only time he really sold the entire beating was right at the end. Where he got up and he stumbled around, then dropped back down, then looked at Del Rio going, oh no, there goes my belt. Because seriously, there was not much else that could happen. Like, he's selling... He's very choosy. Which is bad. Yeah, he chooses when he's going to sell and when he's not going to sell. As opposed to, let's sell to tell a good story throughout the entire match.
Fundamentals, basics, you know. Going back to Botchamania, I don't know where they dug it up, but they dug up the clip of Cena back when he was prototype, you know, back when he was in, you know, in the training grounds for the WWE. Instructor has him, showing off, okay, this is how you do a Russian leg sweep. And he does a Russian leg sweep, and the instructor goes, okay, forget that, because that was wrong.
Yeah, I remember that clip.
It wasn't the old, okay, show him how to do this, John. Boom. John, no, that's not how it's done.
Surprised he didn't turn around and go, bitch, I'm going to be the champion one day and run this company. I'm going to be Superman, goddammit. So if we got Cena as Superman, does that mean Alberto Del Rio is the Spanish Lex Luthor?
No. See, what would Alberto Del Rio be? I don't think you call him Lex Luthor, because Lex Luthor is, like, far more intelligent. Like, I'd almost get that.
Bizarro, then.
He'd be Bizarro. So, about the same intelligence level, that might work.
So, he goes through gets push off the steel grate things. He goes through the V. Gets beat up by Miz and R-Truth at the end. Still got up. Don't know why
yeah,
that wasn't the finish.
Yeah. Run in. You know, here we go. Bullshit ending yet again with Miz and Truth coming out. And it happens again. Like he still gets up.
It should be hashtag just stay down.
Just stay down.
But at the same time, they had a right on commentary. Del Rio was down for like 15, 20 seconds.
I know you were counting along.
Yeah. And the ref was counting at one point until he got up to like, I think it was 6 where I took over to clear out the rabble. Which then makes it completely fucking stupid.
But eventually, God willing, in his not jean shorts, he was in his camo shorts, John Cena lost.
Which is really weird, because he had a new t-shirt to sell.
Trending on Twitter.
Trending on Twitter. Rise
Trending
above.
On Twitter, can't find it on the website.
Rise above hate. Jeez.
Well, I suppose it's only been, what, an hour 20 since they,
Yeah.
Took the pay-per-view off the air, so maybe now they'll have it on the website.
Maybe. Is this something The Rock can't make fun of? Rise against hate?
I don't know. I'm sorry, but Cena, well, not Cena, The Rock can't talk when it comes to merchandise. Not only does he have his Team Bring It t-shirts, but he's got the stupid Brahma Bull logo in just about every flag under the sun.
Oh.
Like, I'm talking, there's a Mexican version, there's a US version, there's an Australian version, man.
Well, it's Team Bring It Worldwide. They gotta market everywhere.
Look, the new Cena shirt's up, by the way. complete with new sweatpants.
Just in time
so far,
for
the only thing Team Bring It seems to bring is their fucking wallet, though.
And that's what WWE likes.
So yes, Alberto Del Rio retains the WWE Championship, finally. He actually retained it. After keeping Cena down. What would you guys grade this pay-per-view overall? Omega?
Probably... Yeah, probably a B-.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, it's not. It's like it wasn't that bad of a pay-per-view. It was just again, we had another Miz Truth BS ending to finish the night, and just a few matches that just seemed like they were there just to fill time. Like there wasn't any value to them.
Mace.
Well, considering this is the first pay-per-view I've actually been able to watch in a little while, I'd probably give it a B- as well. It was alright, but could have been better in a lot of places, especially since the main event doesn't follow Mace Rule number one, which is sense, motherfucker, you all make it.
I'll go with you guys, B minus B in that range. It was, you know, pay-per-view. It wasn't great. It wasn't nothing totally newsworthy, but at the same time, it wasn't like it wasn't a TNA pay-per-view that, you know, usually sucks. And it wasn't what it was. What was the one in June that WWE did with R-Truth and John Cena as the main event?
Oh, jeez.
Wasn't that Clash of?
Clash of? That's WCW.
No, that Night of Champions, but that was Punk Cena.
That was Punk Cena. Great American did they still have the Bash?
No, they didn't have the Bash, but it's whatever the hell they replaced it with.
Is that bad? We can't remember the pay-per-view from June.
They change them so often, you know. Who really cares? It's WWE. I don't think they remember what they did in June.
True.
That's
mind you, I did find out my pre-order bonuses for WWE 12.
Oh, do tell us as I'm looking up the name of the pay-per-views, because it's driving me crazy.
Now, this I actually find quite amusing, because the People's Edition, mm-hmm. at least down here, includes The Rock character.
Right.
Of course. A WWE DVD featuring The Rock's must-see WWE Raw appearances from February 14th and April 4th, 2011.
Okay.
An exclusive foil tops trading card featuring The Rock. An art image of The Rock. A copy of the video game. So you do get the video game eventually. And a foil sleeve cover packaging featuring The Rock.
Ooh.
Now, doesn't the if I read that, does the game also come with a slip cover of The Rock?
That would be the foil cover packaging.
Okay.
However, I could actually save $20 and just buy the standard WWE 12 edition, which comes with The Rock and The Miz's suit.
Ooh, The Miz's suit.
The one he stole from Jericho.
Yeah. Now, if I could only put Jericho in the game.
No, I wish I was thinking. I have to buy him later when the Posse tour craps out.
There are rumors that he, you know, debunks on Twitter. He's negotiating to come back at WrestleMania.
Of course he's debunking the rumors.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. And the pay-per-view.
He needs to put up like an ROH or Chikara logo on his site.
That would drive people crazy.
Didn't he do that with a TNA logo at one point?
That's why it's funny, Mace.
Yeah.
Oh, funny. Haha. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, and the name of the pay-per-view was Capital Punishment.
Oh, yeah, because it's so clever. We're in Washington.
Yeah.
We're going to have really, really shit Obama promos.
Marketing geniuses.
I remember it now.
Yeah. Anyway.
I also remember why I tried to wipe it from my memory.
We're going to take a break. Come back. We'll talk about, there's a new TNA World Champion.
Oh, God.
Brother. We'll talk about that. And we'll get in a little bit of Survivor Series talk, cover the news, and a whole bunch more. This is WTR Sunday Night Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. If you haven't done so already, go to CanadianAllPro.com and sign up for the forums and join the Facebook group, because, you know, the guy who's supposed to be doing this little, you know, shill of his promotion isn't here. So go to CanadianAllPro.com. We'll be back. Wrestle Talk Radio.
And if you're not listening, you're not trying, because, well, you're not fucking listening. We'll be right back.
Wednesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Otakul Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence roll.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a slinky.
Okay, you found a slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
Mm. This fine. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for paint cans.
Duck.
Okay, since he is smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge paint cans, ducks, and any other flying object.
Okay, you also ducked the free pussy that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase, with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, well, not our, but Shaniqua's following to members, and we all start going, go, 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 go.
Alright, hang on a second. Dun. Oh, the slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm gonna roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LEB Rules, Chapter 7. Subsection
15. Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't go in this castle.
For more geekiness, tune into Otakul Talk Live, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
A certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons and Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night. As you can tell from the music, we are going to tell you how to completely bone a potential main event player in just 2 hours' time.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Oh no, his damn luck was running fine.
It was the other guy. Yeah. We're talking about TNA.
Let's talk about TNA Impact, because of all the stupid shit that they have ever done since their inception, this fucking crowns it all.
So it's TNA Impact talking we're talking about, right?
Pretty much.
Because before we get into the James Storm stuff,
which was the only good part of the show, by the way,
the opening segment was 39 minutes long with 3 commercial breaks.
Welcome to Dr. Sting.
Yay.
Really, 3 commercial breaks.
So you got 3 commercial breaks. I didn't get any, but I did get some very awkward jump cuts.
We had 3 commercial breaks. Dixie Carter said, Kurt Angle's heading to ring. We'll be right back. Yeah, it takes them 3 minutes to get from ringside into the ring.
See, whereas it was Kurt Angle's on his way down the ring, all of a sudden he's in the ring with a microphone. He has magic teleporting powers.
But 39 minutes to... Oh. But before we get into it, it was the highest rated episode of TNA.
That's because everybody wanted to see the main event to make sure that it actually happened.
Yeah.
That's because everyone wanted to see, like, Bobby Roode was trend as a TNA topic trend on Twitter. Bobby Roode was trending on Twitter because after a 4-month build, he got fucked out of the title, and everyone wanted to see if he would actually get the rematch, if they would actually get a championship like he deserved. That's why it was the highest rated episode. And of course, it didn't take them long at all to fuck that over.
Why don't we just, Omega, why don't you get into it and, tell us what happened.
They pull some bullshit where Robert Roode can't get a rematch out of Kurt Angle. But there's nothing stopping James Storm, who hasn't done jack shit in the last 4 months while his tag partner has been pushed as a singles competitor. So he gets to challenge for Angle. Angle's injured, so of course he just throws punches and taunts the crowd the whole match, gets hit with 1 super kick, pinfall, James Storm is your new champion out of fuck nowhere. We were talking about this, who gets a championship out of their very first title shot? Who gets a championship out of their very first title shot with 0 fucking build?
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. Like, I can see how this fucks over Robert Roode, who has been built up for the last 4 months.
Four months going through the Bound for Glory tournament, going through hell to become the number one contender, build up promo packages, puts on a great match at Bound for Glory, gets screwed out of it, gets a screw job finish, and his tag partner, who's done jack all, but just watch him, become a number one contender, become a credible main eventer, gets it, gets a match and the championship in a span of less than 2 hours. Hey, what the fuck was the point of building up Bobby Roode if you're just going to end it like that?
Yeah. No, I can't fault you on that. Like, I'm happy that James Storm has won it. The dude, like they said in the promos, he's been around since day one. He's always been that guy who's always been on the cusp. Same with Robert Roode. Both of them have been sitting on that cusp of being main eventers. And hell, just look at the popularity of Beer Money. They took a throw together tag team and turned into now the top tag team in that company. But I do see, this being pretty much slapping Robert Roode in the face after 4 months.
Yeah, it completely buries him. It absolutely buries him that 4 months of work and build got him absolutely nothing. Meanwhile, his partner wins the championship with 1 kick.
Yeah.
With that said, that kick will now be over.
Yeah, look how easy it was. Couldn't you fucking do this? You've been trying for 4 months. Oh, yeah. fucking wuss. Couldn't just kick him once? Glass jaw. Hello.
but that's the thing. This this is where I now start to have a problem with it. They've put the belt around Storm. Now you're going to turn the two against each other. You're now breaking up your successful tag team.
Oh yeah.
Why? So they can feud. Yes, we're going to get some good matches out of the two. I have no doubts there. They've already done it once on Impact recently. I'm sure they'll throw it out on a pay-per-view.
Oh yeah. Honestly, the
and wrestling fanatic, I know you're over the moon about James Storm, but please try and see this from an outside perspective.
Honestly, the only hope they have, the only part about that I liked was that there was a moment where James Storm tried to give Robert Roode the belt.
Yeah.
Just fine. Honestly, I think the only way you salvage this is if, and they're not going to do it this way, but James Storm needs to be the one that turns heel. It's the world title win and how easily he won it has to go to his head.
Yeah, the overinflated ego scenario leading into their feud.
Yeah, because at this point, with this much build and this many people hoping for it, you don't turn Bobby Roode heel, even though it's TNA. I mean, they'll turn anyone heel no matter how little sense it makes. And they'll also turn anyone face without making any sense.
It's TNA. They don't make any sense nine
times out of ten. That's the other thing that pissed me off about this match. Hogan and Sting were buddy-buddy again.
Okay, now then, I want to bring some sense, little sense to this. You say one move, okay, that's fine. James Storm is your TNA World Champion. That's the best news out of all. A non-WWE guy is holding their title. That's positive number one.
Okay. I'm glad that a TNA original actually has the World Championship. Yes, I just wish it had come with better build.
Oh, but, there's been the slight build that, James Storm has been kind of in the picture.
How about this? I don't like that it came just a couple weeks after Hogan had publicly stated, I don't see Roode as a champion. I'd rather book him from Florida, from my hometown, rather than as a Canadian, because we know how pathetic Canadian wrestlers are, and goes about how much he likes James Storm, the country boy, cowboy. And finding out that the reason Bobby Roode lost was that the last minute, Hogan told the booker, no, he's not ready. And if everyone who remembers that I'm an RVD mark, this sounded very fucking familiar to me.
Number two point. James Storm won with the super kick. That's good. It took him out. It's, you say one move, okay. You can also go on to the thing of Robert Roode basically beat down Kurt Angle on Sunday, and he was still feeling the after effects that allowed the one kick to help.
No,
Roode did not hit Angle with a Mack truck.
But he did beat him up, and he was hurt.
No, I'm sorry. Even in wrestling logic, that still makes no sense.
Yeah.
These are guys that have put on blood baths on Sunday, and by Thursday they're cleaned up and 100%.
Trying to find some sort of logic.
You can't justify that. When Robert Roode hits 100 hits on Angle and none of them put him down for three, you cannot justify in any way one move doing it on the very next show. If you're on Raw, maybe, because it's less than 24 hours later. This is Impact. We're pretending that it takes place almost a week later. I know you're trying to find positives here, and we're just tearing it to shit.
I'm trying to.
But there, yeah. this is
Rock's not the only one trying to find positives here. And wrestling fanatics, please stop trying to bring up, do you watch UFC? Motherfucker, I was doing a show on UFC for many, many months. Of course I watch the stuff. And do not compare UFC to wrestling. It is two completely different things.
James Storm is your world champion. I'm going to play a 15-second clip, and then we'll discuss it. So take a listen to this Thursday on Impact.
On an all-new Impact Wrestling, the charismatic Enigma returns to the ring when Jeff Hardy faces Bully Ray, and a new number one contender will be crowned when Bobby Roode clashes with Samoa Joe on Impact Wrestling, Thursday at 9 on Spike.
What?
That's their big push? Hardy versus Bully Ray?
No.
Wait. The same, okay, the guy who got pushed for 4 months is facing the guy who got completely buried for 4 months as the number one contender? For number one contendership, this is the best match they had?
Yep.
What? I must have missed something in that. What's the match?
It's Samoa Joe versus Bobby Roode for the number one contendership. Because, you know, right behind Bobby Roode, Samoa Joe was right in there with the mix.
I can defend the James Storm stuff to a point and stuff, but I can't defend that.
Don't get us wrong, and don't think we're just tearing the living shit out of this. James Storm, good on him. TNA original, glad he's got the title. Okay, got no problems with him. Personally, I have no problems with it. I do think that giving them the strap so quickly after the build-up of Roode sort of shoots Roode down a bit. But now this... Wow.
Alright, we complain Joe's not getting a push. But he's still not getting a push. That's the problem.
Yeah, well, it's the most obvious result that you could possibly have.
Yet again, we're getting comments. People complaining about Joe not getting a push. Now he's getting a contendership spot, contendership chance, and people are still complaining. Of course, it makes no sense. That's like going to, I don't know how your ranking systems work over there in Football Rock. Who's sitting at the bottom at the moment?
For what?
Football, NFL.
The Kansas City Chiefs, and yeah, go with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay, Kansas City Chiefs. It's like giving them a fucking shot at the Super Bowl. Why? Because they're on the bottom. It makes no sense.
Yeah. It's like if, you know, tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw, the number one contendership is going to be contested between John Cena and Jimmy Uso.
You're really stuck up on Jimmy Uso this week, aren't
it's
you?
It's the lowest on the card I can think of. It's literally the lowest on the card I can think of. It does not make any sense whatsoever. And, you know, that is TNA MO. The sad thing about TNA is that they think that when something makes no sense, then it's shocking and unpredictable to the viewer. Well, it also tells no fucking story.
Alright. Complaining aside, I could tell you the winner of that match gets his title shot at the next TV tapings.
The next TV
pay-per-view.
Supposedly, it's going to take place at the next TV tapings.
Huh. That's never a good sign. So we're either going to squash somebody's, you know, one-week championship run, or we're going to have absolutely no build-up whatsoever. To another new champion.
Pretty much. Everything for a rating. Okay.
Can I?
Go ahead.
Is it possible to cornet face through the internet?
I don't know, but
through a radio stream, can I do it?
I think we need the cornet face from, I think it's Botchmania 188 that used the Mortal Kombat 3 smoke blowing up the world.
Oh, God.
We need that. And I'm going to say this now. Wrestling Fanatic, if you're so hard up on trying to say that we're wrong, call in. Call us. Talk to us. Because really, I can't be fucked typing in the chat room. Okay. Let me get this one. I'll give you your goddamn logic. I'll give you the super kick. Okay, that's just like a 3-second roll up out of nowhere. Okay, right. That's a quick thing. That's not what we have the problem with. We have the problem of you building up Robert Roode for 4 months, then you have him get his ass kicked at the pay-per-view, then what is presumably 3-4 nights down the track, you give someone a match out of nowhere, and he wins it in that quick scenario. That makes no sense. That's where the logic is, not in the actual what happened in the match. Yeah, it's the stuff before it and what it means to wrestling as a whole, or at least TNA as a company telling a storyline. It makes no sense.
Yeah, they went into Sunday knowing that they would have to take the belt off of Angle because he is injured. But they decided not to do it with Bobby Roode because Hogan whispered in somebody's ear, he isn't ready. We're going to wait till, you know, we're going to throw 4 months of build out the window. We're going to put on a screw job finish where he's going to get completely cheated out of the belt instead of losing it, you know, fairly. You know, which I would not have had nearly as much problem with. They set up to, like, it's going to be the next big match. There's going to be a big rematch between the two. There's going to be another title match. Robert Roode's going to get an honest chance to win the belt. And they throw it out the window to give it to somebody who has not been built up in that same four-month time span, who has actually been completely shadowed by the one they were building up in that four-month time span. Right. What upsets us is story progression and proper build.
Now, you go...
Yeah, getting kicked in the face, which is the major argument that you're putting across to us, that, yes, you get kicked in the face, you're going to be knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, we're not...
Doesn't matter whether it's a barroom brawl, in the wrestling ring, or in a UFC fight. You get kicked in the head, you're fucked. Pure and simple. We've got no problems with that. It's all the other stuff.
Right. The finish of the match was not the problem.
Yeah, I complained about that because that's all there was to the match.
Right. Right.
Where on Sunday, you had someone who had worked 4 months to get his title match, put 100 hits and moves on Angle and get screwed out of the win. That wasn't 100 hits not good enough. You move to Thursday. One hit is suddenly good enough to put down Angle, which means Robert Roode's 100 hits weren't worth one of James Storm's.
Yeah, and while this may get Storm and his superkick over like a motherfucker, but it drops Robert Roode down so many notches that I think that's probably why they have this logical contendership match between him and Samoa Joe.
Yeah, I mean, it's a total wash of the build.
But... And here's
you put that much work into it, and you throw it in, it's all completely thrown away. You have no more credibility in Robert Roode because you just made him look terrible by comparison.
I'm going to twist this conversation around because we're reiterating the same points over and over again. I just want to move on. From a storyline sense, why rush into Robert Roode versus James Storm?
Not so much rush into it, but there is going to be a build to it. This is your next logical stepping stone.
But
is to get to that match.
I understand that, but it shouldn't happen in 2 weeks.
No, it shouldn't. It should happen at least at the pay-per-view.
It actually should happen next year.
Oh, it's TNA. I would never do that. I wouldn't say next year. That's drawing it a little far.
I go to the January pay-per-view.
Okay, that I would buy.
I would first say lockdown, but short attention spans, because you could really do a lot of good build-up teasing. You know, you turn Robert Roode to a heel.
No. Storm goes heel.
Storm goes heel,
and Roode becomes your new big push babyface.
Yeah, Storm has to be corrupted by the sudden success. Because the ones the fans are rooting for, and the ones they'll pay to see actually grab the belt like he deserves, is Robert Roode.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Because if you have Roode turn heel because, oh, I didn't do it, I didn't get my title, it just makes him out to be a big whiny baby, and nobody wants to see that.
But that could have been the direction they could go.
It could be, yeah.
I'm just pointing it out. If you build it up, he gets jealous of James Storm.
That I know, and that's so typical. But you know, if I describe it as typical, that just makes me think the TNA is bound to go with it. Because TNA loves their mediocrity.
But that's you don't want to rush this match. That's why I'm like,
you don't want to rush the match. In fact, you keep Beer Money together. You keep them tagging, but you slowly show that James Storm, you know, either blind tagging so he can get the pinfalls and hold up his world title belt, slowly show the progression of, you know, his, you know, he's starting to let the belt go to his head. You know, well, Robert Roode's trying to be there, trying to support him, even though he's the one who got screwed out of it. James Storm is the one who is slowly kind of twisting the gears in his head and slowly going heel about it.
TNA makes my head hurt.
Your thoughts, we have fucked them.
Yeah, pretty much. I have this idea, you know, let's go this direction. Yeah, well, fuck it, I can't argue with these two. It's not worth it. It's TNA. Why are we arguing over with TNA?
We're not going to talk about TNA. It's going to be another 4 months before we talk about TNA again.
This is the longest we've spent on a TNA news story in God knows how long.
Because it's just such a stupid move. Fuck this company.
I want to go back and play the clip one more time.
On an all-new Impact Wrestling, the charismatic Enigma returns to the ring when Jeff Hardy faces Bully Ray, and a new number one contender will be crowned when Bobby Roode clashes with Samoa Joe on Impact Wrestling, Thursday at 9 on Spike.
That's your two big selling points. Roode versus Joe in a contendership match, which makes no sense, and Jeff Hardy versus Bully Ray. There is not a cornet face big enough to explain what is happening here. And it gives Omega a headache. See, now there's a clip we need on hand. Where's the Rita Repulsa? I've got a headache clip.
Anyway, let's get off of TNA. Let's go back to what we were talking about earlier in the show. The build to Survivor Series. Tonight we got a big clue of what the main event is going to be. It's going to be Team Rock Cena against the heels, which are going to be Kevin Nash, Miz, R-Truth, and we need two more, right? Would you put Del Rio on that team?
I think you have to if Cena's going to be on the opposite team.
But don't you want to... That begs the question of the WWE title match.
There isn't going to be one because they're promoting it as Cena and Rock teaming up.
Okay, so Cena and Rock team up. Their partners, Triple H, which we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
CM Punk.
Right.
And...
Oh, who was it? There was someone else that...
They were rumored, The Undertaker, who we got a tease for tonight. They've rumored
Samoa Joe.
No, he's got a number one contendership match.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The other rumored name,
against Jimmy Uso.
Kind of put in a recap. We talked a lot about Jimmy Uso and see how many downloads we get. The other rumor.
No. You bill it as special guest star, Jimmy Uso.
Yeah. Ratings at the wazoo. Wasn't he, which one? Was he the Uso that got drunk driving?
He's the Uso that goes, hook at the fuck.
No, he's the one who stomps his left foot first and then his right foot.
Ah, so that's how you tell him apart.
The other rumor name was Stone Cold Steve Austin. However.
Right.
However, I don't think it's going to be either one of them. That's not my feeling. I have a feeling it's going to be someone else. And that person would be...
Hey,
one asked.
Sir Mickles.
Yeah, why would I play Mick Foley's music? Well, apparently, guess who's scheduled to make his WWE return on November 14th?
Ooh.
Jimmy Uso.
That. Besides The Rock returning to WWE, besides The Rock returning on November 14th for a 3-hour Raw, Mick Foley is supposed to be back as well.
Does this mean we get This Is Your Life version 2.0?
You know what would be great, and they won't do this because they're going because it's going to be normal, semi-sane Mick Foley. It'd be great if he came back as Mankind and he was just spent the whole night arguing with Cena about who Rock's best friend was. It's completely misunderstanding the whole situation.
And if you're going to do that, I want to see a segment where Cena's just walked off shaking his head and Mankind looks down and he's got Socko and he starts talking to Socko. He turns around and there's Santino with the Cobra. And Socko starts talking to the Cobra.
Oh my god, that would be awesome.
That would be great.
That would be awesome.
You wouldn't be able to sell enough fucking Cobras.
That would actually be tremendous.
And then what you do is you put Mr. Socko on WWEshop.com and you sell it in a 2-pack with the Cobra. Make a mint.
You sell them like Hanes, you know, stuffed up two packs of socks. I think we have more fun speculating about Raw than we do actually covering Raw.
Pretty much. That's why there's no Raw post show lately. Anyway.
We're just...
So, the Survivor Series team fully adds nice to the mix. Who's the fifth man for the heels?
Jimmy Jacobs. New signee.
Isn't he in FCW?
No. I think after night, let's see, who we got on the heel team? We got Del Rio, Miz, Truth.
And Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash.
You know, if they don't go for like another try at Sheamus versus Christian, you probably put Christian on there. Or make what's his face? Fucking Mr. Mean Street Posse 2.0.
No. When you've got a match book that big, look how many stars you're putting in this match. I mean, WWE actually does have something of a chance of putting a credible heel team against, The Rock, Cena, Mick Foley, if this pans out. Even with Stone Cold there, my argument from a few weeks ago stands that this is an incredibly overbooked face team, and you've got to have somebody credible on the heel side. I have no clue who that would be at this point. Trying to think of any other top heels on the call.
Try and find like an alumni section or a legend section or something.
I'm not getting my hopes up.
I'll be honest. I don't want to see Jericho back in wrestling. He's a hypocrite. He's a fucking stuck-up dickhead. Keep him the fuck out of the product. Let him go on his little fucking failed fuzzy tours and, go fuck roadies or whatever.
Whereas I still stand by the standpoint, Raw is Jericho.
Next week's great... No.
I want to see him back, but I want to see him doing something different. I think he was played last time he was there. He was played out. He was playing a brilliant Bond villain, but it's done. Do something new, and even he has said in an interview that if he does come back, it'd have to be doing something new.
Right. So that's the question: who did they put in the?
Man. Oh man, that is so hard because you're out of heels.
Find anybody?
You're completely out of heels.
Yeah, there's absolutely nobody on the heel roster that is even like worth putting in that team. Mind you, while looking through roster, I see they still have Karma listed in their section.
She has not been future endeavored. Trademark WWE.
Suppose, well, no, that wouldn't make any sense either. I was going to say, you probably put Barrett in there. He's the only other guy that who's a heel that might be in that type of group.
No.
No. Put it Black Sin Cara.
He has no mask now.
I know. You should put it back on. He's an ugly bastard.
Apparently they're continuing on that angle. Where he just wrestles without the mask. Because God knows we've seen enough of that. Yeah. Anyway, we'll speculate it some more next week on that. We talk about Impact's not
ready. Still amuses me that he owes his whole career to Sin Cara getting busted for steroids.
And speaking of being busted, guess who was suspended on Monday?
Uh-oh.
Heath Slater was suspended for 30 days for violating the wellness policy.
Not Wendy's!
Yes, Wendy's was suspended for 30 days.
And I don't give a fuck.
What, did he get caught for MSG?
He doesn't feel the need to explain to all the Slater haters out there, you know, why he got, you know, screwed up, but, you know, he's going...
See, Slater haters are the only things that keeps him going, because he sure as hell doesn't have any actual fans.
Actual fan base or No, the only fan bases for Heath Slater are the ones who are trying to Google Saved by the Bell episodes.
Nice reference there. I like that. I am truly sorry to have disappointed you. I made a simple mistake. Everyone does once in a while. But trust me when I say I will not be making this one again. I promise upon my return you'll see a more determined, fearless, confident, and approved person. I'm going to be the man I want to be. So let the countdown start to your future endeavored.
You left out 40 pounds lighter.
So yeah. That's that. Do we feel like doing the great debate?
No.
Not feeling up for the great debate this week.
I think we already had our great debate, which was the TNA debacle.
Yeah.
With just no fancy intro.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
You know, writing these quick hits were easy this week because I only had to write up two for Mace. Because, you know, we didn't do this last week. So these are questions from last week for you, Omega. So we'll start with you. Who should be the top babyface in Raw till the end of the year? Triple H, CM Punk, or John Cena?
Oh, God. You know what? And this is blasphemous, but it's I would put Cena. If only because... What's making Punk special right now is basically applying to supply and demand, whereas Cena has always been well oversupplied. They're using Punk in a more limited regard, especially right now, and that's exactly where his popularity is going to increase. The less it's the old adage, absence makes the heart grow fonder. You know, the less you see of him, the more you want to see of him. So, I'd prefer to. While he is probably the best thing Raw's got right now, leave him. Let him be overshadowed just a little bit. Because in the end, he shines all that much better.
Okay, Mace, is Gail Kim overrated or underrated?
She's just rated. She's not anybody to sort of jump up and down about when she debuts in TNA. Or, you know, if she goes back to the WWE for the 18th time and then flops around like a dead fish. But at the same time, she's not somebody who's going to be underrated going, wow, we really need to push her and this. She's this middle ground, which pretty much makes her rated.
Way to ride the fence. Okay, back to you, Omega. If Tim, Spug, and Mace were each an individual sandwich, what type of sandwich would each of them be and why?
Sandwich?
Sandwich.
Ah.
While you think of that, last night on CB Radio, we talked about the creation of the 338-pound hamburger selling for $2,000.
Well, can we get the obvious joke out of the way now and say that Tim's one comes with Canadian bacon?
There you go. Get it out of the way.
Oh, jeez.
Mega is being put on
this
the spot.
This is the weirdest fucking question I've ever heard.
And you'll
turn my co-hosts into sandwiches.
If I could give you a change and make them sex toys, but...
I'll go with sandwiches, thank you very much.
Should I give it to Mace's question and then come back to you?
Please do.
So Mace, as we let Omega stall for a minute, actually come up with an idea. Since you've been gone for a month or so now, has it been?
Something like that.
You know, something like that. That's how long you've been gone and away from us. You listen to all those shows, right? Or some of them at least that you try to?
Yeah, I catch what I can.
You catch what you can. What's the biggest difference you've heard on the shows that you've heard since you've been gone?
The biggest difference?
Yes.
Well, for this show, obviously, it's been the lack of hosts.
Really?
I think when I said that I'm out of here, I didn't mean that I was taking Spug and Tim with me. And leaving you poor bastards to do the show on your own. OTL, I've noticed, has got a lot shorter. And that Omega really despises taking on my former role of gathering the news.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And, for OWW, it's pretty much been business as usual, and it seems, if anything, Alan was the only one for at least the first couple of weeks that actually missed me on the show.
OTL hasn't been that much shorter, just crafty editing.
Yeah. In other words, there's been a lot more dead air than usual.
No, and the 1 week Spug showed up late, and yeah.
Well, that's not highly unusual for Spug.
Well, he was working, I think.
But when I actually get asked on Twitter, when are you coming back to WTR, you know something has definitely either gone wrong or has changed to a point where people are actually wanting me to return.
Who asked that?
It was somebody on Twitter.
To whoever that was on Twitter, am I really that shit?
I don't know. Maybe they'll tweet you at TJ Omega on Twitter.
There you go.
So cheap shill, cheap shill.
Yeah, we got plenty more cheap shills to come in a minute. But Omega, sandwiches, what are they?
I'm gonna make Mace a Big Mac. I don't know why, it just seems... It just seems big, heavy, and filling.
You trying to say I'm fat?
No, I'm saying you're filling up this show for... Thank God you are.
Yeah.
See, we're going to make Spug a bologna sandwich because that's what he's full of.
Beryllium bologna.
Oh God, you and the geek references nobody but me gets.
I don't care.
At this point, I think we're only entertaining ourselves.
Tim's gonna end up being a grilled cheese with aged Swiss cheese.
And it's kosher.
Well, I did leave out the Canadian bacon.
Exactly.
That was Quick Hits, everyone, for another week here on WTR Sunday Night.
You don't even have to think of the questions. You just have to remember the last episode of CB Radio.
Yeah, I kind of, I could have told you about how we talked about how dumb people put up, you know, if you're selling drugs, don't pass out flyers with your name on it that says heroin for sale. They put their name on it and their address.
Wow.
Smart one.
Dumbass.
Well, gutsiest dealer I've ever heard of.
You can check out the archive of CB Radio now at wildtalkradio.com. Tuesday night is OWW Radio with Alan Wojcik. His special guest is the franchise, Shane Douglas.
Now, Rock, we'll give it a second pause, and we're going to record this one so you can play it on OWW Radio. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, and fuck you.
And clip.
There we go.
I like how you referenced that from a couple weeks ago. I mentioned it in the show. Thank you. Good job.
Well, you didn't clip the last one, so I'll give you one, a clean one, the clip.
Thank you. So, yes, OWW Radio, Alan Wojcik, 9 p.m. Eastern, franchise, Shane Douglas. Wednesday night, Omega.
Hopefully, Otaku Talk Live, assuming I have the slightest bit of energy in me. I don't know. Wednesday, I was dead.
I'm sorry, Omega. I can't plan to be sick that day.
No, it's okay. It's the week in geek, as usual. Yeah, one of these days we'll have more than two hosts and be able to do D&D night, maybe.
2012, the return of D&D.
Pretty much, because that's when my contract runs up.
Waiting for him to be unemployed.
Yep.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, is CB Radio. We will be doing the Halloween show. So check out where we're talking about Halloween trivia.
Isn't that episode 199?
That would be one episode. Yeah, it'd be episode 199. And then episode 200 is on November 5th, and we have a lot of stuff planned. Go to cbradio.ewazone.com. Newly redesigned and has new t-shirts and stuff. We have flip-flops.
Remember, the 5th of November.
Yeah, we have flip-flops now.
Awesome.
cbradio.ewazone.com. Go to CanadianAllPro.com. Tickets are now on sale for Onslaught and Remembrance, the first two shows of Canadian All Pro Wrestling. On the November 5th show, yes, they're doing a show on November 5th, former TNA superstar and Team Canada member Hotshot Johnny Devine will be in action.
Nice.
Yay, Johnny!
And probably possibly coming to OWW Radio on November 1st.
Sweet. Oh, wait, I'm not going to be there. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, and fuck you. But I shall leave you with one last thing from myself, as I'm actually feeling somewhat better today. For those of you video game fans, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you own a PS3 or an Xbox 360, and possibly PC in November, go out and get Arkham City, the new Batman game. I have played all the way through the main story mode. I will say this. Those writers have balls. They do something that you would never think would ever be done in a Batman story. It is probably one of the best stories I have seen done in years. And even after the main story, there is still so much to do. It is worth any price that you are going to pay for a game. Highly recommended. Definitely game of the year. Other than that, please pray for me while I'm sitting there typing data into a computer every goddamn week. The only good thing about it is I'm making, you know, $1,300 a fortnight.
Fuck you. I had to return a favor. Facebook.com/...
This is going to pay for me to get over there, man.
I know.
I'm taking this money and I'm going to the U.S.
I know. Anyway, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork and Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio. Twitter.com/TheMakesThing, TJ Omega, TJ Omega on YouTube, TJOmega.blogspot.com. Canadian All Pro, my name is Logic. Kilton_Wiseman. That's all the Twitter. Follow Rob Parks on Twitter at CB Radio GOE. He asked me to set him up for a Twitter. He is now on Twitter. So, yeah. So for
anyone else? The Dalai Lama? God himself?
Do we
have anybody else's Twitter we want to put out there?
Ryan Seacrest apparently got one.
Somebody find me Jimmy Uso on Twitter.
I
will follow Jimmy Uso on Twitter.
God, I've probably got more followers than Jimmy Uso. What are you talking about?
I'm not stopping the show until we find Jim Uso's on Twitter. I swear they're on Twitter.
There's a WWE Uso's, which is confirmed.
Right.
I don't know if he has an independent one. There is a Jimmy Uso, but I don't know if it's official. And I do have more followers than it.
I tell you what, if the Usos ever get released by WWE, we're just going to send them a copy of this episode and say, we want Jimmy! We'll interview Jimmy Uso. We put him over as the only man who can beat John Cena clean in a video game.
The Rock. You let him beat The Rock.
Screw it, handicap match. Jimmy Uso beats John Cena and The Rock at the same time.
God damn, I miss you, Mace.
Oh, there's the WWE Uso's Twitter. That's the only one they got. I don't know. Anyway.
My stand still holds. There's a Jimmy Uso on Twitter, and I have more subscribers.
Yeah, that's at Jimmy Uso. Anyway, for Mace and for Omega, I'm Rock. We'll see ya next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, with me, Omega.
Who knows who else?
Jimmy Uso.
Insert name here.
Insert host name here. We'll see you next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Good night, everybody. Welcome to the
for your bins and share.
WildTalkRadio.com.